Hey team, Richard Tubb here, back again with another episode of Tubb Talk, the podcast for IT consultants. Now, I speak to a lot of managed service providers every week, every year, all around the world. And the conversations that I have with them tend to be revolving around tools and techniques for growth. But today, we're going to be focusing on the often overlooked but supremely important part of any managed service provider, any MSP business, and that, of course, is the people within your team. So today, I'm speaking with an expert on MSP people. Dean Watmo is the CEO and co-founder of Humanize, a UK-based business that is focused on empowering MSPs to build, develop, and retain highly skilled teams, I should say. I'm looking forward to this, Dean. Welcome to Tub Talk.
Richard, thanks for having me. Likewise, really keen to dig into this subject.
I said you're in the UK. I'm up here at home in the studio in Newcastle upon Tyne in the northeast. You're a little bit south of me, aren't you?
Not that far south, only about an hour or so. In semi-rural, just outside of Bradford, a little village called Eldwick.
Ah, lovely. So I'm guessing the weather where you are is probably no better than it is up here in the northeast, which is it's bloody cold at the moment, mate.
Yeah, it's dry for the minute, and that'll do for me. The weather we've been having, I feel like I'm getting webbed feet. It's been that wet, but yeah, it'll do me when it's nice and dry.
Well, I guess before we jump into Humanize, I want you to share a little bit with the listeners about your background, your experience in the MSP space. Tell us who you are.
So I started my working life in advertising and media. I worked for organizations like ITV and Channel 4 back in the halcyon days of the early 90s. I saw the birth of digital really through that, and I decided to start a web agency aimed at SMEs, helping them kind of level the playing field and promote themselves on this new thing called the World Wide Web. That led me into software. We were doing a lot of kind of front-end development work for application providers. And that then took me into the world of hosted applications before cloud and SaaS were terms that we know them to be today. That then led me to working in a fairly large MSP, selling cloud services such as infrastructure as a service and platform as a service and what have you. And then I bought a small MSP, which quite honestly nearly killed me. So it's fair to say I've seen what it's like to work for and run an MSP. So that's given me a real in-depth insight and a genuine appreciation for what it takes to succeed in this sector. But it's also why I started Humanize, because clients are never just buying the tech. They're buying to your people, the team that will be designing, implementing, and supporting them and that technology. So we now help MSPs, as you say, attract, train, and retain their talent.
Yeah, and I'm going to pick up on something you said there. You know, you ran the MSP business, it almost killed you. I know you're sort of being glib, but, you know, having spoken to you off air before, I know there's a lot of truth in that as well. And there's going to be a lot of listeners who own MSP businesses who totally empathize with what you've talked about there. So without going into too much detail, what sort of impact did it have on you running the MSP business?
Mental health just goes through the floor, the stress, the pressure. When things go wrong and go wrong in a big way, I think it's about having the safety net, having it really taught me it's the caliber of the people around you. Yeah. If it hadn't been for Chris, who I work with now, who's a co-founder of the business with me, I don't know what I've done, you know. So it's for me, it's all about the importance of the people, the team, the skill sets, you know, the determination, the collaboration. But it was a great experience. Don't get me wrong, I wouldn't have changed it because I wouldn't be where I am now and loving what I do. But genuinely, those that are in this sector, they are doing a very good job, and it's often underrated. No one ever rings you up at the end of the day and say, "Hey, our IT's been great today." It's yeah. Always, you know, digging people out of problems.
I often say, Dean, running an MSP is a little bit like running the local police force, where, you know, when's the last time you picked up the phone to your local police and said, "Hey, good news, guys, we've not been broken into overnight. Great job. Keep it up." And it's the same for MSPs. Nobody ever phones up and says, "Look, we've got no IT issues." They only ever give you a call when it hits the fan, when something bad happens. But thank you for being so open about that. And as a former MSP owner myself, I totally empathize with that. You know, I sold the business 12, 13 years ago. And I remember back to just how stressful it was at the time. And as you say, it's who you surround yourself with, which is going to be the make or break there, which leads us, of course, to humanize. So first of all, let's get into the name. So for people listening while they're out walking the dog or driving in the car, the company name is spelled H-U-M-N-I-Z-E. So there's no A in the middle of there. Before we jump into humanize, where did the title come from?
I thought it was a great idea at the time until I have to spell it to everybody. And people call it humnize. My own daughter said, humnize? What's humnize mean, Dad? It's about that human touch. We're dealing with people. And it's about, you know, putting that human touch into a process, which, you know, typically hiring people, recruiting people, it can be a long way away from that human personalized process that it should be. So yeah, that's where it came from. I think we're too late to change it and add an A in it now anyway, but yeah, we're stuck with it and we'll keep pushing it.
Well, it's interesting. It's one of those brand names that I think initially people might go, where's the A missing? Or I'm sure people are going to get in touch after this podcast, Dean, and go, your show notes are wrong. You've got some typos in there. However, when speaking to people out in the market who are aware of what you do, it's a brand that really works well. And, you know, it's something that sticks out as well. So I think that speaks to just who the people behind the brand are there. But I want to delve a bit deeper based on what you said there. So you're not a recruitment agency, but you do help MSPs recruit. And you're not a HR service, but you do help MSPs with HR. So for those of us like me, we put things into little boxes and we put labels on them. How would you describe humanize in like a sentence to other people?
Yeah, look, it's difficult to capture what we do. And we do try to avoid the word recruitment, not because it's a bad word, but because people tend to run a mile because of the experiences. And we don't want to be tarred with that high volume, low quality kind of commission chasing stereotype that exists in that recruitment sector. Mm. Likewise with HR, you know, for a business function that is very people centric or should be, the word human resources, it's a term which has always felt really clinical to me and really quite impersonal. And I think it's quite dated and doesn't reflect what good HR should be. So we've coined the term people partner. Mm. So it's about dealing with your people in a more human way and not just ticking boxes. So, you know, we help MSPs find solutions to their people challenges and to be proactive rather than reactive. And that recruitment is one of the things that we do, but there's so much more to the services that we can provide.
Yeah, and there's so much that I want to speak to you about, but I think we've got to dig into individual portions that people will be familiar with to begin with, Dean. So let's start on recruitment, if we can. So for the benefit of listeners who run MSP businesses, IT professionals, business owners, with your extensive knowledge of this industry now and recruitment, what would you say is a common mistake MSPs make when they're recruiting new staff?
Yeah, so I think I should start by saying that I'm speaking from experience here. I've made these mistakes myself. And I think it's really easy to look in from the outside and offer up advice as to how you can improve an MSP and make it sound really simple. But look, you've been there, I've been there. We all know that the reality is very different, especially for owner operators. You know, when it comes to recruitment, no one likes paying a recruiter a fee if that all they're doing is chucking CVs at you, right. You know, and hoping that something sticks. But I think first and foremost, the biggest mistake that you can make in an MSP when you're hiring people is, you know, not giving it the time and effort that it needs. Recruitment is literally a full-time job. And today it's very easy to stick an ad on Indeed or LinkedIn or another job board and sit back and wait for the applications. But that's just one part of the hiring process. And I guarantee if you take that approach, you're going to kiss a lot of frogs because often there's a lot of volume that comes through, but very low quality. I think secondly, you've got to make your business attractive to top candidates. If you can't compete with bigger players in terms of salaries, what else can you offer that makes your MSP somewhere they'd want to work? One of our clients, for instance, has recently embraced a four-day working week. They've got a location issue. You've got to travel, but they need people in the office because of the type of clients they work with. So they've gone to a four-day working week. Others offer dedicated in-work study time. and they pay a bonus or give a salary increase when, you know, people pass an exam or hit a KPI that's focused on their personal development. One of our clients, they provide a 4-week paid sabbatical after 5 years of continuous service.
Oh, wow.
So you know, but we see too many MSPs that I think are a little bit out of touch, and they're offering bog standard, you know, 20 days holiday. That's a statutory minimum. You know, you've got companies that are doing much more than that and delivering real genuine benefits that are different. I think MSPs need to move quicker. Top talent doesn't stay on the market long, you know, and they're getting multiple offers. Good candidates get multiple offers now. So you have to be able to, you know, I know it's hard, but your speed wins, you know, in this candidate-driven market that we're in. I think MSPs need to present the best possible image of the business. It's called your employer brand. You know, good candidates do their homework. They're going to visit your website. They're going to go on LinkedIn and look at your posts and your LinkedIn page. They're going to look at your careers portal or careers pages. They're going to go on things like Glassdoor and check out the reviews. And again, we see so many times it might just be one bad apple that's left a bad review, a disgruntled ex-employee, but that might be the only review that's on that review site. You have to pay attention to these things and respond in a positive, accurate way. Also, a couple of other things. I think interviewing professionally, respecting that interview process. You know, if people are going to be interviewing and it's not something they've done before, give them some training. We get some real maverick questions, and you know, it puts people off, it puts candidates off, and it just gives the wrong impression. Sometimes people are using bad language when they're interviewing, you know, again, it just presents a bad impression. Onboarding, when you've made a hire, don't just forget it. And I know it's a sigh of relief. Great, someone's accepted. Think about that onboarding process and that induction process. Really, that onboarding starts from the time that person accepts the job, not from when they come and start working. So that kind of communication is so important. So people feel welcome from the very start and feel like they can hit the ground running on day one. And lastly, you know, I think all MSP owners should be asking themselves, would I enjoy working here? If I was going to be doing this role, or if I was just starting out my career, or would I want my kids to work here? Is this a place where I could see that they're going to be looked after, their careers are going to flourish, they're going to be treated well? You know, it's hard, it's easy, as I said at the beginning, when you're in the thick of it and you've got, it's kicking off, it's hard to focus on these things. But these are things that should be at the core. Why did I start this business in the first place? And is it what I hoped it would be? Because that's how you're going to attract people, when your values align and you know, you attract people of a similar ilk and mentality.
That is gold right there, Dean. We're only sort of 10 minutes into the podcast here, listeners, and Dean's already dropping value bombs left, right, and center. We'll make sure to feature everything that Dean says in the show notes as well that accompany this episode. But Dean, right there, fantastic advice. You and I spoke, when was it, a few weeks ago, you know, offline, well before the podcast and that, and we were talking about, you know, the business culture, the brand, and how it's not just there to attract, you know, clients, which is most MSP owners are like, oh yeah, the website's got to attract clients and things. But depending on how you do it well, it's also going to attract top quality talent. It's going to attract brilliant suppliers. It's going to attract, you know, great relationships in the wider business community. So everything you've said there is, you know, around the culture of the business and how you present externally as well.
I think, as I said earlier, it's not just about the tech. Clients are as interested in your people, right, as they are in the services that you're providing, because it's the people that are providing those services. Yeah. When I've worked in other companies, we always sold the team, the length of time that team have been together, the skills that team have, the projects that they've been involved with that are very similar. So you can't undervalue, you know, the importance of your people. I think Richard Branson sums it up really well. You know, it's all about, you know, look after your people first, your customers second, and your shareholders third. Because that makes perfect common sense. If you've got good people that are good at what they do, they're going to be giving good service, which means your company value is going to increase.
Yeah. We mentioned briefly tech there. I want to dig in a little bit deeper to this because, of course, listeners to the podcast, owners of MSP businesses, we've just given them a ton of value, a ton of advice on how they can make their business more attractive to potential hires for technicians and other people. But when it comes to recruiting people with good quality technical skills and everything else that goes along with it, I know your approach at Humanize to finding talent is fairly different to the norm. So if you don't mind, Dean, talk us through the process of how you find the best staff for MSPs.
Yeah, and we can only deliver this process when our clients invest in it with us. Mm. That's really important. So giving it the time and respect that it needs. Key for us is that we make it a positive experience for the MSP, whether that's the owner or the hiring manager and the candidates. And just like an MSP needs to really understand their client's tech requirements and the business problems that that tech is going to solve. Same for us. You know, we really need to do a deep dive into the who's, the what's, the why's of the MSP and what they're looking for and why they need this person. So we take a detailed brief where possible and as much as possible. We go spend time with the MSP. We meet the team, we experience the culture ourselves. You know, how can we promote a business and a role if we've not got that experience of it? We then start to build talent pools of potential candidates and we thoroughly screen them. We don't just recruit for technical roles. You know, we recruit for sales and marketing roles as well. Okay. But on the technical side of things, our team come from technical backgrounds. I come from that sales and marketing side of it, and we have other people, you know, in similar positions. But that means we're really able to technically test candidates, and personality test them as well. It's not just about their tech stack. It's about, are they going to fit with the culture of the organization? So yeah, we do a lot of the heavy lifting. And for us, it's about quality, not quantity. Typically, we'll present 3 to 4 candidates, but they will be bang on brief. And the process works. 86% of the candidates we submit receive an offer. The difference in today's market, they're getting multiple offers, so they're not always accepting. Yeah. So hence the need for that strong employer brand and that speed of process. Our process from start to finish, even though that sounded like it was quite laborious, 4 weeks. So, you know, it's not like decorating your house. You do all the prep up front, and then it goes much smoother. It's the same with us. We need that time with the client before we can really establish who it is we're looking for and why.
Yeah. Dean, I've got to say something, because a former MSP owner myself, you know, we dealt with recruitment agencies and we went to the open market ourselves and stuff. It's such a pain to find good quality candidates. It blows my mind, Dean, I've got to say, that the recruitment agencies that we speak to gave us so much chaff. You know, people who were just not a good fit for us for whatever reason, technically or otherwise. You've come up with this concept, you know, to present, you know, a really good candidate to people based on the groundwork that you've put in there. In your opinion, why has nobody done this before? Because it's there's going to be MSPs listening to this who are screaming, going, yeah, that's what we need. Why has this not happened? Why is the recruitment agency so sort of out of date with these things?
There are good agencies out there. Right. I don't want to say we're the only one doing this, but we are, I think, the only one that's really focused on the MSP sector, mm-hmm. because that's where we've come from. So we're from your side of the fence. I think there are good practitioners out there, but unfortunately, there are more bad practitioners out there. What I would say on that is that the employers, not just in MSPs, but the employers are as much to blame as anyone else for devaluing this process. We have that hit and hope mentality. So it's all about, I want to throw as many CVs as I can and hope that something sticks, because they want to ring fence. They want to ring fence those candidates, because their terms will often say, if you hire any of the candidates we've submitted to you, once you've accepted our terms and conditions, if you hire them within the next 12 months, you have to pay us a fee. Yeah. So, you know, it's a problem that we find it can be very easily fixed by working exclusively with a client. You know, if it was marketing, if you imagine a marketing process, you know, MSPs would work with a single agency that really understands them and their business. They have a strategy that everybody agrees on. They commit to the partnership on an ongoing basis and they commit a budget to it. And it's you know, it's a singular process. Everyone's on the same page and it evolves and grows and becomes more successful. If you now think about that in recruitment, so what does a client typically do? Because they don't want to pay the fee, and I get that. I hated paying fees because the service I was receiving was poor quality in a lot of instances. Someone's leaving. Let's get a job ad out quickly. And they call that, bearing in mind I started life in advertising, they call a job ad, it's very loosely called an ad because it's often just a list of bullet points. Mm. Okay, an ad, a job advertisement is supposed to attract people and engage the right people that you want to bring into your business. A job description is the list of bullet points. So they are two very different things. But, you know, they'll put that ad out and then they'll get a raft of applications which often are not appropriate or relevant. So they'll then go to some agencies. All those agencies are going to do is compete against each other. So you create a race to the bottom because, as I said, they want to ring fence those candidates. So you just get this kind of mess. It's like herding cats, and it's not a good experience for the MSP. It's not a good experience for the candidate at all because they've often got two or three agencies talking to them about the same job, and they'll never tell them who the client is. And it's not a good experience for the agency. So it just encourages these bad practices. And that's why you get a lot of people that start life in recruitment that leave it. So it's, you know, we work exclusively. We work a process that is positive for all that are involved. And with some of our clients, they actually have us on a retainer as if we are a marketing agency. So right. We're constantly building their employer brand. We're constantly engaging for talent, you know, and building talent pools. So when they do need to hire someone, guess what? We've already got a team or a pool of people that we've been talking to. But equally, when someone does come onto the market, whether they're looking or not as an MSP, we can bring them to their attention first. So they can often create a position or bring someone in that they weren't looking for, but wow, we can't miss out on this person.
Dean, this is phenomenal. And I remember when I ran my MSP business as well, one of the things that we did was we always had on the website for roles that we felt as though we needed good quality talent in. Now, sometimes we didn't have an immediate need, but then when people got in touch with us and they were a good fit, heck, we would make the room for that role. We would bring them on board because finding good quality people, really, really difficult. So what you're talking about there, the idea of being on retainer with MSPs, I find a really attractive proposition because, as we've said, this is not like a one and done thing. This should be a continuous process where we're, you know, attracting good quality people and bringing them into the business. Before we move on from recruitment, though, you know, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but you've got experience, as has I, of the recruitment industry. We've already alluded to some of the, you know, the less attractive parts of that industry. So let's talk, if we may, about the darker underbelly of recruitment for a moment. You know, in my opinion, Dean, I don't know if you'd agree with this, but I think that recruitment agents get seen in the same vein as like secondhand car salesmen or double glazing salesmen, you know, that sort of pretty slimy box shifting stereotype. So in your experience in recruitment, what are some of the tropes that you wanted Humanize to stay away from? What did you want to disrupt about this industry?
For us, it's about credibility. And that comes from actually having been on that side of the fence in as an employer in an MSP, just wanting to, you know, dispel those shady practices, you know, and that snake oil salesman approach. It is difficult. You know, we're trying to build awareness through things like this podcast that there are other ways of doing it. Mm. You know, estate agents get a bad name, but actually most recruiters work pretty hard, you know, it's and they're doing all that work up front. They're not getting paid until someone, you know, is accepted. And it's often on a commission basis. We've got multiple ways to work. You know, retainers may not be for everybody because they might not be recruiting that often if you're a smaller MSP, but we have other ways that we can work the commercial, so it's beneficial for cash flow and what have you. But yeah, for us, as I say, it's a hard job, you know, if you're doing it right, and that comes from understanding the need. Like, you know, any role or service you're providing, you can't provide that service until you know what the need is. And that the solution that service is going to deliver. So it's, yeah, for us, it's about very much just being professional, taking that brief in the first place, being honest and transparent. You know, we'll always do our market research first before we take a role on. We're not going to tell you we can fill that if we can't fill that. We're not going to put, you know, candidates forward if we have any flags. You know, we work in partnership with our client. A big part of the personality testing process is being able to flag that, you know, they appear to tick all the boxes, but this answer would give us a pause for thought. So maybe drilling to that when you interview them, Mr. Client.
Right.
So you know, it's about that transparency is so important, because in recruitment, typically, if you're working on a success fee model, you know, you're off, some recruiters are praying and hoping that that candidate sticks in the job for 3 months.
Yes.
Right? Because if they don't, they've got to find a replacement or pay some kind of rebate. For us, it's more about, you know, we offer a 12-month guarantee. So, you know, if that candidate leaves within that first 12 months, we'll find you a replacement, because we're very confident that we've put the right candidates forward and that we've done our due diligence and the screening. You know, there are some instances you can't get it right every time, and something comes out of the woodwork that we would never have known. Honesty, transparency and partnership, I think, are so important. And you don't often get that if you just go to multiple agencies that are just going to throw CVs at you. And a lot of people haven't come from the MSP background. They're searching for keywords. They don't understand the job. They don't understand the position. They haven't worked in those roles or in teams, you know, within technical environments. So they can't have the same conversation with candidates that we can.
Yeah. I remember as a former MSP and myself, when we recruited, or when we got recruitment people in to recruit for roles, they were often more familiar with corporate IT or IT professionals as a whole. And then what would happen, we'd get the people in and we'd say, well, we deal with 200 different sites, and you could see the candidates freaking out, Dean, because they're like, what? 200 different sets of machines and 200 different sites. And it's like, yeah, there's a world of difference between corporate IT, IT professionals and managed service provider people as well, isn't there? So I'm glad you put there. The other thing I picked up on based on what you said, and I've never thought of this before, but the idea, the analogy of you wouldn't hire, say, two or three marketing agencies to work for you at the same time because they'd clash with one another. And it's the same with recruitment as you've just talked about. So that's a good point and makes a lot of sense. The humanized team. So I already met, you're down the road from me, in the UK, but you're all UK based. But have you got an office? Do you work remotely? What does the team look like? Who's in the team?
We work remotely. It works for us because we're all, you know, fairly mature. I don't want to give any ages away. We're all fairly mature and have been around
experience,
the block.
Experience
is a good word. Yeah. We get together. Of course we do. We enjoy doing that. And we kind of make time to do that. There are six or seven of us. I say all seven of us, because we tend to bring people into projects as we need them.
Right.
Depending on the skill set, if it's a cyber role, we've got a consultant who works with us who's, you know, cyber qualified and has got a long track record in the MSP world as a senior techie. We've got a good culture. We all respect each other for the skill sets that we bring to the table.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. I want to talk a little bit more about remote working in a bit, but before we do, we talked about recruitment. So let's talk about HR, human resources, or personnel as it used to be known back in the day. And we've already said HR, perhaps not a good fit for what, you know, the modern role looks like. I know that your colleague within Humanized, Rachel, is a HR specialist. And I also know from speaking to other people, you assist your MSP partners with human resources, with HR personnel type things. Before we jump into that, what does modern HR look like for an MSP? Can you give us an overview of your experience on that?
Yeah, look, I think HR, most businesses you talk to will say our people are the most important thing to our business, but they don't have HR. Or they're treating HR just as a box ticking exercise. And I get that. I did that. But really, I think HR is so important as a business function. And I think more and more, moving forwards, it will be seen much more strategically. You know, it's not just about protecting the business. It's about being there for your people, developing your people. It's about employee experience, the employee journey. It's about well-being and engagement and performance management. So, you know, I think it's so important that you're able to adopt and uphold values across a business. And HR's foundational for that, you know, for creating those values, for setting good examples that your people follow. So modern HR, I think moving forward for MSPs will be something they will address and embrace and see the value that it can deliver.
Yeah. And HR as well, I think, is part of, we've talked about recruitment, but retaining staff, HR is a big part of that, in my opinion, as well. So in your experience, you know, let's throw it open here. How do the most successful MSPs retain their best staff, while other MSPs that I know of, Dean, have got a really high turnover of people?
All this is common sense to me. Nothing that we're talking about is rocket science, right? But as we said earlier on, when you're in the thick of it, running an MSP, these things are often off your radar.
But it's
really simple. Treat people well. You can't retain everybody, right? In an ideal world, somebody resigning wouldn't be a surprise. It would be based on a conversation that's been going on for a long time. It's because you know the individual. You know, it's not an annual one-to-one. It's a regular touch points and a much more personable approach to working with your people and managing your team. So that personable culture is everything. People stay in places they enjoy being in. Otherwise, they look for somewhere else to be. And you know, I know some MSPs that have had great retention rates when they were starting out and when they were growing, but it's a very acquisitive marketplace. And I've experienced when two or three organizations have tried to be bludgeoned together to create this one, you know, organization. And often those cultures clash, systems, processes are different, and it makes it a difficult place to be. When you lose that personal touch, when you hit a certain number of people, it's very easy for it to become, you know, people's, and they become names on a spreadsheet. Yeah. And that's when you've lost it for me. And that's when you'll see the revolving door. And one client said to me, we're struggling to keep people past 12 months. And it's because they've lost that personal touch, that human touch, which, you know, it's so important.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you, I've seen plenty of mergers and acquisitions within the MSP space. And we're not just talking about the big boys here, Dean. We're talking about, you know, £500,000 businesses that have come together or whatever. And within 12 months, all the best staff have left because, yeah, you haven't got the best of both worlds. You've got the worst of both of them coming together. So again, super important to do that right. This might be a question for Rachel. Within your team, the HR expert. But what advice would you give to listeners about, say, employee contracts? Is that part of the retaining process?
Yeah, you know, something we've seen and we're seeing more of, and not just in senior candidates now as well. Candidates are looking at the employment contract in a lot more detail, and they're coming back with questions. So we see, you know, even some large MSP clients, if their contracts are out of date and haven't been updated, then it delays the process. And as we've said, it's a process where you don't need to be slapdash and just run quickly, but you have to be, you know, you have to be measured, but make sure you're moving at a decent pace so you don't lose candidates out of the mix. But yeah, so anything that bottlenecks or holds up that process, and it can often be the employment contract, because then it has to go for review to the to the lawyer, etc. So just stay on top of it. It's not a legal requirement, okay, but they are vital to protect the business, and for everyone to know where they stand. For, you know, the employee needs to know what their rights are and their responsibilities. Keep up to date with legislative changes. Make them simple in terms of the language. Make them really clear so everyone can easily understand them. And keep them the same across the board. When you make a change for a new employee, you have to go back and consider all the existing contracts of employment that other people have.
And is that something that Humanize help with, your sort of HR aspect? Do you help keep MSPs keep up to date on legislative? You and I both can't say that word accurately.
That, isn't it? Yeah.
And changes to compliance and the law.
Correct. Yeah.
Do you help MSPs to keep up to date with those sort of changes?
Yeah. So one thing about Rachel, she's got, you know, 20 plus years in large MSP, senior HR leadership roles. So again, it's about that credibility we bring to the marketplace. And one of the services that we offer through Rachel is a free HR health check.
Okay.
Which looks at your contracts, your documentation, your processes to make sure that, you know, if there are any things that you are missing, she'll point those things out and give guidance on that. But equally, you know, it can be a pat on the back and some peace of mind that, hey, we're doing everything that we should be. So it's not just about you doing this wrong. It's about, hey, this is really positive. Keep doing this. Here are some suggestions that how you can move forward. Often from that is, you know, a dive into other things that we can deliver, such as performance management, employee engagement, you know, just so you can start to put good processes and foundations in place to make sure people are happy. They are getting what they want from their working environment. They are enjoying the role, so you can retain them. Again, whether you love him or loathe him, Richard Branson says some pretty straightforward, common sense things. And, you know, this is all about train your people well enough so they can go anywhere they want to work, but treat them well enough so they don't want to. And for me, solid HR is foundational to that, to making sure you know what your people want and you're trying your best to give them what you can. You can't always do it. And therefore, that might be, look, we've both reached a point where you need to go elsewhere, but at least then it's not a surprise and you can plan for that. Succession planning is very important to every business.
Yeah, I suspect the listeners, or certainly I, would like to do a deep dive into some more of the HR topics that we've talked about. Do you think Rachel would be up for coming on the podcast and speaking to me at some point?
Yeah, definitely. She'll probably do a much better job of I'm doing of it as well when it comes to the HR side of things. Yeah. She'll cover some great topics that, you know, she really brings to life, I think, a business function which can seem a little bit dull because it can be seen as just process and documents and you know, contracts. There's so much more to it, and that employee engagement and performance management piece is so interesting, because you can see how we can really benefit your business and benefit your people and get the most out of them.
Well, tell Rachel from me, she's got an open invitation to come and join us on the podcast. We'll do that episode in the very near future. And I think you're being too tough on yourself here, Dean. You've already given a really good accounting of yourself from the HR perspective. So thank you for sharing that. So I want to pick up on something we touched upon earlier. You talked about the humanized team, you know, remotely distributed across the UK. The same for my business here. I know I'm not an MSP anymore, but we've got a remote team that are scattered all over the world. And, you know, it's a different set of skills, isn't it, to manage a remote team. So since the pandemic, you know, I think we've all seen a hybrid of office-based and remote work, especially in the MSP industry. In fact, many MSPs that I know have spoken to, they've dispensed with their offices altogether. They've gone fully remote working. So in your opinion, Dean, what are the pros and cons of office-based working versus remote working? And also in your experience, what do modern employees prefer?
Yeah, I don't think I could go back to working full time in an office when you think, you know, the flexibility you have around your work-life balance. I think the key thing is, as an employer, you know, you recruit people to fulfill a need to do a job, but you have to trust them to do that job and don't micromanage them. And, you know, I think work is no longer a place you go. It's very much a thing that you do. So you've got to enable your people to be able to do that to the best of their ability. I'm talking to a lot of senior candidates, and I mean, you know, £100,000 plus salary candidates who are missing the office environment. They're working for large enterprises and they're fully remote and they miss that interaction that they've had in previous roles. I think not just in IT or an MSP, you know, even before when I was working in, you know, 10 years ago at an MSP, I found it very hard when you had to pull a team together across different sites. Everything was done on the telephone or a video conference, and you miss that, let's just get everyone round the table and we can, you know, we can collaborate more effectively. So don't get me wrong though, there are a lot of positives about having that flexibility to work remotely. But I think for the younger generations, I don't want to sound like my dad here now either, but I think for the younger generations, they're missing out on that mentoring. They're missing out on those conversations that are going on. They can't eavesdrop or get brought in to sit here and have a listen to what we're talking about, have a look at this design and things like that. So it is about getting the blend. Most of our clients want the candidates to be in for at least the first month, 5 days a week, till they're fully up to speed and on board. But I think I don't think fully remote is good for your mental health. And I don't think it's good for the younger generation that have come through COVID and are now entering the workplace, because I think they are missing out on a lot of communication skills that can only come from being around people who can mentor you and advise you and guide you. And I think it would be awful if you're sat trying to solve a problem and you know, and you can't just lean across and say, can you show me how to do this? You've got to try and get that person on team, see if they're available, almost book a slot. Well, how much of your time have you wasted? You know, so I don't think we're as efficient, but I do also think that, you have to do what you can to, as an employer, if you're going to compete, to give people some flexibility. Mm-hmm. It's not always possible, but it's one of the reasons why the client I mentioned earlier that have gone to a four-day working week, they've brought that in, because a lot of the clients they work with, they're dealing with kind of really sensitive data, and you can only access their systems through the network on site. Mm-hmm. So you have to be in the office, but that's why they've gone to that four-day week. They're also, though, contributing to fuel costs for people, you know, and they're paying a fuel allowance for people to be able to travel to the office. So there are ways, if you have to be, you know, on site all the time, there are ways that you can make it easier for people.
Yeah. And it can be a double-edged sword, can't it? You've just said something that really struck a chord with me, which is you don't think remote working is great for mental health. And I'm somebody, Dean, when I ran the MSP business, I found it really difficult to get on with actual good quality work when I was in the office, because as a former technician, my ear would be picking up on what the techies were doing, and I'd be overhearing sales calls and all sorts of things. I'd be dragged all over the place. So if I needed to get on with some, you know, really deep work, I'd have to take myself off somewhere quiet. But the rest of the team would miss the opportunity to, you know, have my door open and just speak to me when I wasn't in the office. And I know, fast forward to the modern day, you know, I spend all of my time here in the studio, garage, recording things and being behind my desk and typing away and creating content and things of that nature. But, and I prefer that way of working, but I really do miss, you know, mixing with other people and that. So I have to make sure that, you know, I go and do some co-working. I actually do co-working with local MSPs and spend time with them and with my peers and things, because it's super, super important, isn't it? If you just sat there all day, every day, you can never leave the house sometimes, actually, just getting on with work.
Another really important overlooked aspect of that and the commute, although we always think of the commute in a really negative way. You know what? Because I work in a garden office, it's maybe 10 steps from the door. It's very easy to finish work and then go inside, but you've not left work.
Yes.
Yeah, and that commute is a great time to just download the day, play things back. What were the positives that happened today? You know, the thinking time outside and away from, you know, from your desk. I think that can be really overlooked. So there's a lot, don't get me wrong, as I said, there's a lot of real good positives of having that flexibility of a hybrid role. But I think we're sociable animals by nature. And, you know, we're at our best when we're around like-minded people that we kind of can collaborate with and get the most from and share as well and give to. So if for any work, you know, for any business offering a service, I think it's vital that your people are engaged and that their well-being is being considered, because otherwise they're not bringing the best of them to the job. And if they're not doing that, they're not going to be doing the best job they can.
Yeah, a lot of food for thought there. And I'll be really upfront and honest, I'm thinking a lot about this from my own situation for our team as well. So I think it affects every business, not just managed service providers. I want to go deeper, a bit deeper, if I may. We've touched upon mental health a few times during our conversation. I think attitudes are changing towards mental health over the past few years. I've been very open about my own mental health challenges, clinical depression and things of that nature. But it's only in recent years that I've really felt comfortable publicly, you know, speaking about it, not just speaking to friends about it. How are you, Dean, seeing attitudes towards employee mental health change? And what can MSPs do to support their team's mental health?
Yeah, look, the stats, I don't know if you know the stats, but they are quite scary. You're 5 times more likely to have a mental health issue if you work in the tech sector. Wow. So already we're up against it, right? And I think the mental health issue or questions are being taken more seriously by business leaders and MSPs. I think the conversation's changing. It was often very suspicious. You know, they're playing the mental health card, so we they know the HR process, so we have to treat them differently now and what have you. And I think that is changing because there is, as you said, you know, people are more open about it. I think the younger generation's much more open about talking about mental health than my generation has ever been, because it was often seen as a weakness and a fallibility and a vulnerability. But, you know, great, they're the things that actually make you human, right? And they're the things that people, you're more endearing of someone when they are more, you know, vulnerable and open and genuine and not putting this mask on. I think we've got miles to go. I really do. But I think there has to be a balance as well. You know, as an employer, as long as you're genuinely doing what you can for your people, you can't give everyone everything. It's not possible. Okay. But as long as you are genuinely invested and interested in your people, your team that you have a responsibility for at the end of the day, then I think you can, you know, hold your head up high and treat people like human beings and take them out. You know, they're not just staff. Okay. You know, I was always really happy when, you know, a member of the team would, I've got a mortgage on my first house or just bought my first car, because you're part of that journey with them, right? And you see that the business you've created and that they're a part of is delivering for them and helping them achieve their life goals. But it's also the same when it's something not as positive. You need to be there for them, you know, when they need you as well. Yeah. So it has to change. It will change, but it's gathering momentum. But it's got to be done, I think, in a measured and balanced way. We can't just go woof suddenly all the way over to one side and it be imbalanced. There's got to be common sense. And sometimes I do feel that the world lacks some good old-fashioned common sense.
Hey, amen to that. Hey, Dean, if you don't mind me asking, you know, you're clearly a very caring guy. You're clearly also very, you know, driven as a business owner, as an entrepreneur. How do you look after your own mental health? Are there any tips that you might share with other driven but empathetic business owners listening?
I stay fit. I believe exercise is brilliant. And, you know, I try and do some of the, you know, I try and, because I'm getting older now, I like a bit of yoga, right? Yeah. A bit of stretching, a bit of mindfulness. But, you know, you can't beat getting out in nature. Yes. You really can't. We've got 2 dogs. My daughter's got a horse. So I'm always outdoors doing something. Mm. And I think that's a great way just to get out there in nature and just be quiet, listen. You know, I'm someone who's always on a mission. I'm, you know, I don't just go for a walk. I go for a march. But it's then, it's the time, someone's told me, right? It's the times when you really don't want to do it, that's when you need it the most.
Yeah.
And you've got to say, do you know what? I need to take time out. I need to step away from a desk. I need to just go and get some headspace. I saw one of the guys I follow on LinkedIn recently from an MSP called Integral, Jonathan. And
I know Jonathan very well. Yeah.
He'd taken himself away for a weekend. And my wife would not stand for that. But I do think it's important to be able to take yourself away and just get some kind of headspace.
You know, I couldn't agree more. For me personally, I do meditation, for instance, but the thing that I'm missing out on is the movement. I used to do yoga all the time. I used to be fit as a fiddle but and flexible and everything. But yeah, it's fallen away. And if you don't make time for it, it's difficult. And so, as you say, getting out and moving, but also taking time away from the office. Last week, you know, we're recording this in mid-February 2024. Last week, I was in Edinburgh for a marketing conference, and I went there not because I thought I was going to learn anything groundbreaking or, you know, revolutionary, but it was great to get out of the office for two reasons. One, to turn my email off, to turn my mobile phone off and have some time to think, to stare out the window on the train as I was traveling up there. Secondly, to be around people and to chat away with like-minded peers and get that energy as well. So yeah, a lot to think on there. And I think it's all too easy, isn't it, for us as driven business owners to sit behind our desk, to do the work, to go out and meet clients, but actually to not take the time to think and to get out into nature and to recover, because it's not woo-woo, is it? It's part of a successful person's routine.
So, and, you know, it's, exercise doesn't have to be something that's going to be overly strenuous and, oh, you know, you dread it. Yeah. 5 minutes, you know, you can get the heart pumping, get outside, you know, have a brisk walk. It doesn't take much to get your mind reset and to start feeling good, because what was a problem, if you take that bit of time away, it's never as big as you thought it was going to be.
Inspiring stuff, Dean. I've got to say, you've inspired me with that as well. I'm giving some serious thought to, you know, to what I do within my own personal life here as well. We've got a global audience here, and I know Humanize currently serves the UK, but I think a lot of what we've spoken about and a lot of the value you've delivered here, Dean, is universal, the sort of applicable, so MSPs in any part of the world can pick up on it. But specifically, what advice would you give to listeners in other parts of the world in terms of how they should look for the right staff to attract to their business?
I think the basics are the same wherever you are. We're all human beings, regardless of, you know, location, color, size, shape. We're all internally the same. And we all, you know, respond and react to the same things. And, you know, regardless of the business sector you're in, obviously we're focused on MSPs, which, as we've said, you're kind of up against it. You've got that mental health issue. You're always at the wrong end of the stick in terms of no one ever rings you and tells you you're doing a great job. Yeah. Right. So, you know, it's about treating people well, creating a business that you would want yourself to be able to enjoy working there if you were starting out, or one of your kids or someone you know to enjoy being a part of, and to hold on to that. And once you've got that, you know, you've got those values, you know what you stand for, then you can create your employer brand and you'll know who would be a good fit in that business. So it's easier to attract people into your business when you know why they should want to work there. Not everyone's going to be a good fit. Okay, the MSPs, that's why there's so many MSPs out there, because, you know, we're all different, pretty much providing a similar type of service, but clients buy into MSPs mainly because of the people that are running the business or delivering the services. So, you know, you can put you have your own personal brand, and if you've started an MSP, that's often what your employer brand becomes, but it's also all the other people and their personalities that you're bringing together that create that employer brand. And when you can promote that effectively, you're going to attract the right kind of people. It goes back to advertising. Get the right message to the right people at the right time. Okay. And once you know who you are, what your message is, you'll know who's going to be a good fit, so you can be more direct at who you want to approach and bring on board.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. You mentioned what you do outside of work. You know, you get out into nature, you go for a march, as you put it there. What else do you do for fun and relaxation?
Love a bit of golf. I'm very much a fair weather golfer. This weather is no good for me. As a Yorkshireman, we're notoriously tight, and I'd be losing too many golf balls if I was out there right now in this weather. I've always enjoyed my fitness. Family is a big part of me, and as I say, my daughter's got a horse, so it may as well be my horse, because I think I spend more time mucking stables out and doing all that yard work. I stay active, I stay busy, and just try and make the most of things.
Well, we've got guinea pigs here, Dean. So not quite as big as the horses, but I'll tell you what, when we're mucking them out, sometimes you'll be surprised.
It's always dad's job, isn't it? It's always dad's job, walking the dogs, doing all that stuff. No matter what they say at the beginning, oh, I'll do all that, dad. No, it soon fades away.
We love it. We love it, really, we've got to be honest. But what's next for Humanize then? What can we expect to see from you and the team in the next 12 months?
Steady growth. You know, it's only been 12 months. We're really happy. It's not about how much money we can make and how fast we can do that. It's about the journey that we're on, without that sounding cheesy. But it's about, you know, developing the service offerings and being able to add more value beyond just recruitment. So that's about really generating awareness of what we're about and what we can offer, particularly in that employee engagement and performance management side of things. You know, really, you should only be recruiting if you're growing or you've lost someone. But if you get employee engagement and performance management and good solid HR, you lose fewer people. So, you know, it's just the beginning of a process, really. This is all about how you can help your people become the best versions of themselves. And that benefits you massively because they're good at what they do. And you can give better service to your clients and win more business. The training and upskilling aspect, we've partnered with a training company, again, a startup like us. But they're doing some brilliant work, particularly in upskilling. And I think there's a lack of awareness that the same funding that's available to bring in new apprentices into your business is also available to upskill your existing team. So that's an area we're getting involved in. But also outsourced offerings. So again, you know, you may have a requirement for a new team member or, you know, that doesn't mean you've just got to bring in a new person. We can help kind of with interim placements or outsourcing your first line to another partner of ours. So yeah, there's lots more we want to bring to the table and that's beyond that kind of stereotypical recruitment service.
Yeah. And long-time listeners to this show will know I go out of my way to try and shine a light on people who are positively disrupting the MSP industry. I've got to tell you, Dean, so we were introduced a few weeks ago, weren't we? And we had a good chat over the phone and everything. And I got off and I said to Karina, my colleague, we've got to get this guy on the podcast because there's just so much stuff that you're talking about that is on the surface of it. You know, it sounds quite simple, as you've said, but it's really fundamental to an MSP. The difference between a decent MSP and a great MSP, getting these fundamentals absolutely right. So I hugely appreciate what you've shared with our audience today. And like I said, we've got a global audience, but for any UK MSPs listening who wanted to engage with Humanize, what's the best way for them to get started?
Get on the website, humanize.com. Mm-hmm. Ping me an email. I don't know if you'll be providing my details when this goes out.
We will do. We'll put them in the show notes on Tublog afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, give us a call. We're a really friendly bunch. Advice costs nothing. We'll happily help. As I said, also the free HR health check. You know, that takes Rachel and others probably 4 hours to put together. But we do that because we don't just want to be in the CV, you know, submitting game. For us, this is about, let's understand where you're currently at and let's understand your business. If nothing else, you're going to get some really good ideas as to what improvements you could make, or as I said earlier, a pat on the back if you're doing everything right and some peace of mind. So yeah, please get in touch with us. We love having conversations with you know, people in the MSP sector, not just those running MSPs, that those also delivering other services into the channel as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been an absolute pleasure, Dean. I'm so glad I've got you on the podcast to talk about these very important subjects. And we've covered so many different things. I suspect, like me, you've made a lot of new fans here today with people listening to it. So I'd encourage anybody listening who wants to continue the conversation with Dean or find out more about Humanized, go to tublog.co.uk, the website. We're going to have a blog post and show notes with everything that we've talked about during this episode and a lot more besides. But Dean, we're going to have to get you back on the podcast in, say, 12 months' time as well, because things are moving at such a pace. And I suspect Humanized, whilst not really well known at the moment, is going to be very well known in 12 months. So I would love to get you back so we talk about where things have moved on.
Fingers crossed. That's the plan, Richard. And genuinely, been a real kind of pleasure to be talking with you today. Hope I haven't banged on too much, but we've covered a lot of ground. So if anybody wants to dig into anything more specific, as we've said, please feel free to get in touch.
I've got to say, the best guests we get on the podcast here, they always say to me, either on air or towards the end of the, or just as we kind of, I hope I didn't talk too much. And it's like, no, mate, this is why people listen to the show. They want to hear experts talk about things. So you've delivered so much value here, Dean. Really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Hopefully we'll speak again soon.
Look forward to it. Cheers.
Hey folks, Richard here. Thanks for listening today. I know you've got a ton of options for who you listen to nowadays, so I really appreciate your support. Do you have any feedback on this episode? Ideas for future guests? Tweet me at Tubblog using the hashtag TubTalk. I respond to every tweet and really appreciate your feedback.